You're listening to Bought and Beloved with Kirby Minnick. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, ladies and gents. My name is Kirby Minnick, aka Kirby is a Boss, on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. And welcome to this week's episode of the Bought and Beloved podcast. I am feeling real good about today's topic, and I hope that you are ready for this fire. Are you ready? I don't think you're ready. Well, hey, before we begin, I just want to shout out some amazing reviews that I read the other day that were left here on my podcast because, man, they were just super encouraging. And I just want to recognize some of you guys who took the time to write some encouraging words about the work that I'm doing here. So one of them was from Christina Mitchell. She left a 5-star review rating saying, "Love this podcast. Kirby is always bringing the truth and allowing God to really speak through her. I found so much encouragement through listening to what the Lord lays on her heart time and time again." And then someone under the username Wish to Be Gracie said, "I have loved Kirby for a while now, and I'm so excited to learn more about God through this. I pray that God continues to work through you." Well, man, guys, those were just two of the many reviews that have been left, and I just want to take a minute to thank you all from the bottom of my heart for the encouraging feedback. I mean, I know that people read through the reviews before committing to listening to what, like a 20-minute podcast episode. So seriously, guys, this gospel message wouldn't be getting out there without y'all's part in, you know, being played as well. So yeah, thank you. Leave a review, rate the podcast if you have a second, and subscribe as well so you can be notified whenever the next episode goes live. But for now, we have some tea to spill. So as I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about for this week's podcast, you know, I took a little break, decided to scroll through Facebook because that's what young adults do nowadays. Yeah, I know. You heard it here first. Facebook is relevant again. Your mama, your grandma, all those people, they're not the only ones posting now. But as I was scrolling, I took a second to really look and analyze, you know, the different articles and videos that my friends from ages ago were posting, were sharing, talking about, agreeing with, bashing on. And can I just say how heartbroken I am for this day and age? Seriously, guys, like the straw that broke the camel's back for me specifically was this video that I watched, and this pastor was just kind of talking about how in media there has been a lot of persecution towards Christian values and just Christian beliefs and the Christian people, true Christian people. And it's so disheartening. It's so sad. Culture and media, I mean, it has Christianity all wrong. They are blindly rejecting the truth that will set them free. And instead, culture is seeking to validate their invalid fantasies that could literally lead them to hell if they don't wake up to the truth of the gospel. And y'all, this is our part to play, that we need to be bold in the face of culture because, guys, I mean, the worst thing to me is knowing that this world is rejecting a God that they don't even know. That they don't really know because culture, media, society is promoting a false gospel that is leading them towards fire instead of freedom. Now, I know that's a bold statement. I know that. But guys, I'm tired. I'm so tired of culture pushing for one thing, society defending another thing, media promoting lies, and naive, politically correct New Age generations accepting all feelings as truth and completely eliminating the fact that there are absolute truths in this universe and that they aren't irrelevant and outdated and that they are, in fact, giving us life rather than sucking the life out of us. Now, I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to, you know, call out the specific things that I don't agree with or things that I've seen promoted and posted because, guys, I want to speak this correction from a place of love and from a place of respect. And in no way am I a perfect person. And I understand that there are worldviews out there that are completely different than mine. And I'm not going to be insensitive to those things. But I want to lay down the truth out there and a call to my Christians out there today, because we need to be prepared to stand firm for what we believe in a society and in a culture that is continuing to almost snowball in this direction that is far from the truth. Now, a few months ago, I got some pet snails. Great segue, right? I bought three snails. I bought three pet snails online, and I actually ended up getting six of them in the mail instead. So that just goes to show that God is good. The first three, my roommate and I named them Chloe, Cornelius, and Clyde. But when we realized we had three more to name, we had to give a big Bible shout out to our boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But if those names don't sound familiar, you know, those aren't really common names like King David, Solomon, and Paul. If you have no idea who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are, you're in good company, because that is the story in scripture we are going to be examining today. So if we look at the book of Daniel, we are introduced to an incredible story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I'm about to read a pretty hefty chunk of scripture, but hey, the word of God speaks for itself and reigns true forever. I don't have to speak 24/7 on this podcast, because this is about God's word, not just my words. So Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 opens up this scene to us. I apologize beforehand if I butcher any names or words or things like that, because this is a long chunk of scripture in the Old Testament, but here we go. There's grace for that. Starting in verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisories, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all the kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of the gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his armies to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Okay, now let's pause there for a moment. That was a lot. So that was the end of verse 23. So I read Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 23. And we'll pick up in verse 24 in a second. But dang, y'all, that story is insane. I told you that today's podcast was fire. But seriously, let's summarize this real quick and take note of a few things. So who were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego exactly? Who are these people? Well, when we dive into the book of Daniel, we are introduced to the Babylonian king, King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Ashpenaz, his chief official, is instructed to capture men who fit these qualifications. Men that are without physical defect, that are handsome, wise, intelligent, quick to understand, and are also qualified to serve in the palace. So who made the cut? Well, according to Daniel chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, it says, among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, as we read through scripture, we come to understand that these 4 men were given wisdom and understanding from God. There was no one found equal to them 4, and because of that, they actually entered into service for the king. Now, some time passes, and that's when we get into the story of the fiery furnace. Now, I don't know exactly where, like, Daniel was when all this was taking place, but the 3 others, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those were their Babylonian names, they paint a great picture for us to glean from and mirror from. But how does all of this relate to, you know, my big rant from earlier about culture and society in today's day and age? Well, let's see. King Nebuchadnezzar set up this giant golden statue for all nations to worship when the many musical sounds rang. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down and worship his false gods and this false gold idol established in Babylon. They were aware that this meant that they would be cast into a blazing fiery furnace immediately if they disobeyed the king's direct command. Yet they stood firm in the truth, and they did not depart from worshiping anything besides the one true God. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, you have to understand that these four men were brought to a very high official ranking place in the kingdom. They were given a lot of opportunity in the rank that they were in. And Nebuchadnezzar, once he sees that, they are not going to just sway and bend to whatever he says, whatever he feels, whatever he believes. His demeanor completely changes. They go from being, you know, favored and seen as, oh, there's no one like them in the kingdom. We need to bring them in so they can serve as the king. They are now seen as, we need to bind them up and burn them up and throw them in a fire. And Nebuchadnezzar mocks their God, claiming that none would be able to save them from this fire. And I admire so greatly the response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to this threat. So as I read earlier in verses 16 and 18, they respond in saying to King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Wow. Our culture seems to look more and more like Babylon every single day. Rebelling against God, establishing their own rules, standards, idols, condemning those who refuse to bow down to what they have established as worthy of praise, adoration, and devotion. I mean, there are gold idols of lust and sex everywhere. There are gold idols of success and ambition everywhere. Gold statues of money and fame and idols of power and division and idols of gossip and slander and gold statues of materialism and pride and idols of individuals and humanism everywhere. Everywhere when we turn on the media, when we look outside our windows, everywhere. I see people bowing down and giving into ideologies, practices, communities, lifestyles that provide false hope and security, false identity and truth. And it breaks my heart that they bow down and worship what they do not know. And the things that they are worshiping are vain. It's vanity. It's meaningless. It's vapor. It's established by man. It's not going to hold up. It will never hold up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were confronted and they were put on the spot to exchange the truth of God for a lie in that moment, bow down and serve the created rather than the creator. But they firmly stood in the face of opposition, unwilling to conform to the ways of this world because they knew the weight of the truth of the God that they served. Friends, we must not only be willing to not bow down to the lies of this world and the ways of our society that go against the holy standards God has set and called us to abide by, but we must not fear defending our beliefs in boldness when we're faced with circumstances that call us to proclaim the truth of God. Again, Ephesians chapter 4:15 affirms we are to speak the truth in love. So be wise in your wording and considerate of the souls you're speaking to, but know that when we speak this truth, it needs to come from a place of love and concern for the individuals who are lost to this lifestyle we have freedom from as believers. Sometimes when we stand before culture, it's gonna feel like we are jeopardizing everything. It's gonna feel like we're foolish. And that's because the things of this world that we hold near and dear and the things of this world that society claims to be worthwhile and true and meaningful, that's all fake. It's going to feel like we're jeopardizing popularity. We're going to be jeopardizing fitting in. We're going to be jeopardizing the comfort of not being judged ourselves. Friends, we need to realize what it means to bear our crosses. We need to get serious about the gospel again and the dying world we live in. Now, I want to take a brief moment to shout out today's podcast sponsor, Care Of. With summer being here, health and wellness should be a priority again in our lives, and Care Of makes it easy to upgrade that health routine. In case you don't know who Care Of is a subscription service that delivers vitamins and supplements customized for your specific health needs. You take a short quiz where they ask questions like how much sleep you're getting, if you're looking for more energy, do you need weight management support, or are you looking to grow healthy nails? You answer all these questions and Care Of puts together a personalized plan just for you. You can also modify your subscription at any time when your needs and preferences change, and they also offer vegan and vegetarian supplements that match your dietary needs to ensure that you're getting the right amount of nutrients you need for your specific diet. I've worked with Care Of in the past and I was surprised at how easy and quick the quiz was, not to mention how cute and convenient each little daily packet was with its personalized supplements. So for 25% off of your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter the promo code BOUGHTANDBELOVED. That's promo code BOUGHTANDBELOVED for 25% off of your first Care Of order at takecareof.com.
Hey guys, we're so glad you joined us today. Would you be willing to take 3 minutes to take our annual Converge Podcast Network survey? You'll be entered into a drawing for a $50 Starbucks gift card. All you have to do is text Converge to 31996 and take our quick 3 minute survey. That's Converge to 31996. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
We need to not fear standing firm in our faith at the risk that the world might reject us. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that their God has the ability to save them from this situation, but they also recognize that God was not obligated to. Friends, sometimes boldly witnessing and attesting to our faith doesn't result in everyone getting saved right in front of our eyes. In the New Testament, we see it resulted, you know, the gospel resulting in apostles getting kicked out, getting stoned, arrested, beheaded, exiled. We may be wildly rejected by this world for our beliefs, but our hope is that God has already delivered us through salvation and that the hand of the enemy does not have us. Even if we are to face persecution or being thrown into fiery furnaces, our hope isn't exiled and our covenant with God is not burned up. But here is the amazing thing that continues on in this story specifically, picking up Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 through 30. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet. Remember, this is after they've been cast into the fire, and he's witnessing this, and lots of others are witnessing this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Y'all, look at God. Look at God, man. In this case, God defends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by protecting them in that fire. That fiery furnace that was 7 times hotter than average and killed the guards that threw them in because it was so hot. They did not burn up. Again, I want us to cling to the fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had full faith in God and his promises and ability, that even if God did not spare them from burning for their beliefs, they were not going to waver in departing from giving worship to the only one who is worthy. But again, going back to this awesome instance, King Nebuchadnezzar looks into the fire and he sees four figures in the fire, not three. Now, many theologians and Bible scholars believe that the man that appeared in the fire with them was Jesus, given the description by King Nebuchadnezzar. But and again, knowing that the angel of the Lord, time and time again referred throughout the Old Testament, is also attributed to Jesus, you know, come to that conclusion that it was probably Jesus with them in the fire that spared them from burning and having any singes and any markings of condemnation, this persecution that was kind of thrusted upon them by the world that did not succeed over them. But look at that, guys. King Nebuchadnezzar recognizes that their God is the Most High God and that this is the only God worthy of worship, because this God endures the fire, the flame, the persecution, and comes out the other end. Nothing can put to death the truth and the mighty word of God, because absolute truths endure and reign forever. If we want to see this world transformed and come to know and delight in truth, we must be bold enough to stand out and stand firm for the truth. We must be bold enough to understand the weight of this gospel of salvation and grace for ourselves and the weight it carries for others. This life, people's opinions and judgments, man's rejection, guys, it's so small. It is so small and so insignificant in relation to the weight of the reality that there are people out there dying, feeding on carcasses of fake flesh that will not satisfy or sustain the world. Only the blood of the Lamb, only the bread of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ can save, and all truth from him sets us free. And we need to be rooted and grounded in that truth and find our identity, our worth, our meaning in him, in pursuing holiness. That is the only way we will come to joy. That is the only way we will come to purpose and meaning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 in the ESV version says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." What does this mean? Guys, we are not going to lose heart in pursuing after the things of God when things get hard in this world, when persecution comes, when it seems as though we are being cast into fiery furnaces and we don't know. We don't know if we are going to get out of it alive or not, but our hope is that God is going to be with us as we endure, because that is our hope. That is the glory that outweighs it all. Guys, be bold. It's so hard. It's so hard to step up against society. Believe me, I know this. I'm on social media. I'm on a platform where relevancy and you know, conforming to trends in society is how you grow, how you get big, how you get fame, how you get notoriety, how you get numbers, how you actually can make a living and a paycheck and things like that, that you kind of need to survive in a way. But it's not worth it. It's not worth it to conform and to sit back and just go with the motions and see people and society die, rot in no hope, waste away in living a lifestyle that has no meaning, in not living out to their full potential and freedom and in relationship with Jesus. It's so easy, and I know I'm getting emotional, but it's so easy to read these stories in scripture, you know, and to be encouraged. But if a whole nation was surrounding you, commanding you to bow down before a false god, something that you wildly disagree with, and threatening to bound you in a fire and burn you and have your skin melt off of you into a crisp, would you still stand firm in that? More so, would you still stand firm in having faith in the one true God? Many of us are fortunate enough to not have to face true persecution like many believers have to face in this world, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, but even in today's modern day and age, there are still people dying for their faith, dying. And we're worried about having people unfollow us on Instagram. Are you kidding me? I would rather burn in a fire here in this life, passing into the gates of heaven, knowing that I did all I could to prevent others from comfortably passing into the flames of an eternal damnation and separation from God. Are you willing to endure the fire so that others will be spared? Are you willing to be countercultural in standing up for truth rather than what society has settled in, out of comfort, out of convenience? We need to pray for this culture. We need to stand firm against the lies being promoted as truth in this day and age and be bold in calling out the counterfeit and kind truth so that others may experience real life for the first time in their lives. The Christian life is not an easy life. It can be very uncomfortable, trust me, I know it, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Intimacy with God, true meaning, true fulfillment and purpose and joy and hope that surpasses all understanding, that's worth it. That's what's right. It's what's true. It's what freedom, hope, and joy really is, having a security in God and in all things through it. I know this is a heavy topic for today's podcast, but it's about time that we recognize the chaos of this culture and be bold in facing fires that might be awaiting us. But those are risks we need to take for the sake of those who are lost and helpless. We need to be bold like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we can't bow down and accept the things that are not true. In kind truth, we need to point these things out, but again, we need to be bold. We need to be serious about actually speaking out the truth in faith, in hope, in love, in all of those things. Because a lot of people don't get it. A lot of people don't know it. And once they know it, once they know the real God and get to experience him, man, that's when change is going to come. When we get bold, that's when we're going to start seeing change and revival happening. Whew. Dang, that was a heavy topic. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Bought and Beloved podcast. I really hope that you enjoyed this and that you're encouraged by this. I know this was heavy and I know that it's kind of like, whoa, whew, like a big weight to take on, but let this be an encouragement and be a flame that ignites a fire within you to be bold. Now, typically in my podcast, for those of you who have been here for a minute, you typically know that I answer your questions and cover topics that you all request via my email, which is bought and beloved@gmail.com. It's all spelled out, bought and beloved@gmail.com. So if you want me to answer a specific question with some godly wisdom and biblical advice, shoot me an email. Maybe you'll be featured in the next podcast episode, but man, I hope you guys have a blessed week and that, man, you're encouraged to go out and be bold in your faith, fighting for truth and freedom to really come into the hearts of those that we love, because this world needs to stand firm in Jesus again. Amen? Whew. Anyways, thank you. Thank you again for tuning into this week's episode of the Bought and Beloved podcast. My name is Kirby Minnick, and I will see you all here again next time.
Listening to Bought and Beloved with Kirby Minnick. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com.